This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! And there's John Ramos on this hump day. Longest days of the year right now. More daylight than ever before, right? I mean, was it yesterday or today? Anyway, we hope to bring some daylight to your life as we're with you for the next 3 hours, getting you set for an NBA draft that is tomorrow. And just quickly at the top, the NBA draft, just such a different feel nowadays than I remember it. It's just something we're going to dive in. It's on the eve of the draft. It's a different feel than I just remember growing up.
But, because you can't pronounce half the guy's name.
I think that's
part of the reason. Also, by the way, it is hump day, Dan, as you mentioned, which means every hump day, John Ramos smokes a pack of Camels in the studio.
All right. Can we open the door to the studio to get that gorgeous, beautiful, fresh air?
I just took my first puff, guys.
It's all going out.
Talk it out, man.
And the reason it's unique is because John usually smokes Pall Malls with no filter on the six other days.
Yeah.
So today it's just a little different with the Camels. Is John Ramos is here, and that means there's going to be a John Ramos show. We can pronounce the name of Kawhi Leonard. And the Spurs forward is in the news day in and day out because of his status heading into the NFL or the NBA offseason of, is he going to be a San Antonio Spur? Is he going to be dealt? Well, we do know this. Kawhi Leonard reportedly met with Greg Popovich last night in San Diego. And now there is even more talk, Jonas, about Kawhi Leonard and is possibly leaving the Spurs organization after this meeting.
How bad is this whole situation? Like, how bad does it have to be? Because I was thinking about this earlier. So Greg Popovich just lost his wife. He missed the last part of the playoffs because his wife died. And Kawhi Leonard, you would think, would maybe have some sort of, not that it's totally tied to it, but at least some sort of a, well, you know, he was pretty hard on me this year, but clearly there was something else going on. You know, maybe we shouldn't just get away from this organization altogether. They were dealing with serious things, a serious situation. And now that I know that, it kind of puts into perspective what's happening there, and you kind of start to understand what's really going on. The fact that he still wants nothing to do with that organization from everything we've seen and everything Popovich has been through just tells me that this was either severed instantly when players started calling him out, like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, or he was already leaning this way to begin with, and it was just tilting over the edge.
Yeah, so sometimes, not that this isn't real life because it's Kawhi Leonard's job, and the same thing with the San Antonio Spurs, but sometimes real life ends up intervening, and you realize what you had, and you're maybe drawn back to something with this situation that unfortunately Greg Popovich had to go through. So I get what you're saying in that situation there, that this is, you know, not even something like that can be, you know, put into the equation, that there seems to be so much friction. I think now, after everything that we've heard over the last couple of weeks and even the last couple of months, considering Boston apparently made an offer to the San Antonio Spurs, the reason I think that the meeting was big last night, Jonas, is because I feel that the Spurs now have a full understanding of what they need to do, because I don't think they ever got it, because you're in season, you're still trying to win basketball games, the players are around, and there seemed to be no direct connection or contact between Kawhi and the Spurs. And we saw as recently as last offseason that LaMarcus Aldridge wanted out of San Antonio. So what ended up happening, Greg Popovich had a meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge, sat down and said, you know what, I need to maybe change some things to allow Aldridge to flourish in our system.
And he had a great year.
Yeah, he did. And it worked out. And now I think that the Spurs know exactly, with this meeting with Kawhi Leonard, about what they want to do. They either know that he's going to be back and maybe there's something that they could do on their end to alter things, or know that there's no way that this thing is going to be repaired, so we've got to figure out our best deal. So now, and I know Chris Mannix reported, who you can hear Chris with Caron Butler Sundays at noon Eastern here on Fox Sports Radio, saying that multiple teams have checked in on Kawhi, and while they're not shopping him, they are now listening to offers, or they would listen to an offer if it was good enough. That's a little different story than we heard with February, with the Celtics reaching out and the Spurs not wanting to do anything. If the Spurs are listening, then I think the Spurs are getting ready to do something.
I know Ramona Shelburne had a story that went up last night and said they're not inclined to trade him But if you'd like to pass along an offer, you can go right ahead. It's like, yeah, listen, I'm not really interested in hitting the open market, Dan. You know, I currently have a girlfriend. But if you wanted to hit on me, I mean, maybe, you know, who knows? She may piss me off on my way there and hang up on me, and that gives me a reason to cheat. Like, this appears to be Greg Popovich, and it's no coincidence that it's happening before the draft, so they can figure out if a draft, if a draft day trade is possible with picks involved and whatnot. But yeah, 2 years in a row, man. A LaMarcus Aldridge, he was able to save it last minute, but it makes me wonder whose fault this is. Yeah. Not that there has to be somebody's fault, but it does make me wonder, where did this all go wrong?
I know people are going to say that Popovich is the constant in the two situations, but I don't think he's the problem. And while Kawhi may not have been happy with the way that Popovich ended up dealing with his injury in the first place, or how the Spurs did handle the injury, and then how they dealt with it in the media, maybe Kawhi wasn't happy. Well, we know Kawhi reportedly wasn't happy with what Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili had to say. But this is the way that the Spurs have done it. And this is the way, and I look at their long track of success of the 20 plus years. And if Kawhi Leonard is the outlier, no matter how great his talent is, it seems to me that Kawhi Leonard is the problem, and it's not a Greg Popovich problem. I put this all on Kawhi and him wanting to play somewhere else, and him wanting I know they may not have been happy with how they wanted to treat the injury, but man, the Spurs have gone through this rodeo before. And so that's why I just think that Kawhi Leonard is to blame in all of this and not Greg Popovich and the Spurs.
It's a similar situation in New England when Malcolm Butler, that whole incident happened at the Super Bowl where they didn't play him and nobody could figure it out. And it was almost like everybody afterwards was siding with Malcolm Butler. Oh, Belichick really screwed this one up. Belichick really butchered this. And I'm thinking, hold on a second. This is a guy who routinely has made the right decision over and over and over throughout his coaching career. Historically, maybe nobody's made better decisions personnel-wise as a head coach than anybody in the history of the NFL. But this time he screwed it up. Like, yeah. It seems a little far-fetched. So I do think that, to your point, Kawhi Leonard's seemingly, and he does appear to be very sensitive, if you can tolerate that, that's fine. But he does appear to be very sensitive here. I will also think that Greg Popovich has done it his way and this way for so long that maybe we've got to look at this, take a step back and look big picture and go, this is the first time that he's really had to deal with an in-his-prime superstar who's got legitimate options outside of just San Antonio. I mean, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan were so loyal to Popovich that they weren't going to go anywhere. So he's never really had to deal with that. And now in back-to-back cases, after they were able to land LaMarcus Aldridge, he's now got another in-his-prime superstar who maybe wants to sort of navigate other waters and go around. And I wonder if he's just not used to having to deal with this because he's used to guys that are so loyal and veteran players that no matter what, we're always going to stick around.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, like, if you're Greg Popovich and you think of this is the way that we've done it, some may say that you're looking at Greg Popovich and it's a new NBA. This is the different type of
adapt
player.
Or die, brah.
Yeah, I don't believe that, especially from a guy who has been with USA Basketball, this isn't the first star that he's had to coach. How many stars in the NBA has Greg Popovich come in contact with? How many stars in the NBA have said that they wanted to play for Greg Popovich? I mean, we're putting LeBron James in San Antonio, not because of the stupid Riverwalk, but it's only an option because Greg Popovich is there. So that's why I don't think, like, this is a Kawhi issue. This is a Kawhi getting his feelings hurt, not liking this and not liking that. And you said because of the leverage of a superstar with his contract coming near an end, he's in a situation that no other player has been. But that, again, is on Kawhi. That's not on how Greg Popovich has done things. Kawhi's been in their system long enough anyway to know how things have gone. And if now things are starting to change, that seems to me like a Kawhi problem. Just because the Spurs aren't as great as they once were and aren't dominating the Western Conference like they did for so long doesn't mean that the game has passed Greg Popovich by or Popovich is wrong. This is on Kawhi Leonard's shoulders for how he responded and where he wants to go next.
There is something to his teammates calling him out in public, though. There, and where did that directive come from? It had to have come from Popovich. I don't think that Ginobili and Tony Parker would go rogue and just start calling out Kawhi Leonard.
I'll say this. If you're Manu Ginobili and you don't know from year to year on when you're going to play next, if you're same thing with Parker, how many years they have left, I'd want the best player on the team to play, knowing like, hey, I may not win another championship. I may not get back. We need this guy. I don't think Greg Popovich has to go to Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili. I think those guys are saying, hey, this could be my last rodeo. I'd love it if our best player was here and not sitting out for his own interest and instead of being the team, because I've got my interest. I'd love to get back to an NBA Finals or Western Conference Finals. I think Parker and Manu said it themselves just because of their stature as well. They're such a fixture of the organization, and they've got some money in the game as well of wanting to get a title. So I don't think Pop urged them to say it. I think those guys, just because of who they are, spoke out about Kawhi.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You can always listen to the show on the iHeartRadio app and check it out on SiriusXM Channel 83. We're checking out what's happening in the NBA draft and so much more. A good friend from NBA TV at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Rick Kamla, joins us a day before the selection process. Hello, Rick.
Dan and Jonas, happy NBA Draft Eve. Are you guys as excited as I am? We had a trade right when I woke up this morning.
Yeah, gosh, Dwight Howard, now a member of the Brooklyn Nets. How about that? Or will be, I guess, come July 6th. But, quite a career arc for Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I mean, it's look, when Atlanta traded him to Charlotte for, like, Bellinelli and, you know, all this, it was like, whoa, Dwight Howard's trade value has plummeted that much. Yep, and it's plummeted even farther. Timofey Mozgov, who I don't believe has appeared in a game since his days in Cleveland. Did he even play with the Lakers? Was shipped to Brooklyn in the D'Angelo Russell trade. Now he's shipped to Charlotte. He's got one of the worst contracts in the NBA. But what Brooklyn has done, they've freed up a lot of money in 2019-20. They're going to have two max slots available, to entice big-time players if they want to go play for the Brooklyn Nets. And look, it's just an indication that Dwight Howard has virtually no trade value left in the NBA.
Rick Hamla, NBA TV, with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. Rick, best guess, how does this Kawhi Leonard situation pan out?
I think he goes to the team that is going to present the Spurs with the best package. I think the team that, if they want Kawhi Leonard, could present the Spurs with the best package is the Boston Celtics. And that doesn't meet Kawhi Leonard's goals of going to L.A., as we've heard the reports on, and he favors the Lakers more than the Clippers. I get that. Greg Popovich gets that. R.C. Buford, the GM of the Spurs, gets that. But if I'm the Spurs and you just took your ball and went home, and it's all about you and your people and your camp, and it's all about this quad injury that didn't even require surgery, keeping you out the whole season, why am I going to do right by you? You just completely left me hanging out to dry, ruined I didn't see the Spurs going that far, but ruined the playoff run. Why am I going to do right by you? I'm doing right by me. I'm going to send you to the team that sends me the best package back, and I think that's going to be the Boston Celtics. And guys, I haven't analyzed it to the point of it'll be exactly this guy, and this guy. But it could be, Hayward, Rozier, and a pick. It could be Marcus Smart, Rozier, and Jaylen Brown. You could go on and on and on. We all love and adore the young, talented pieces on that Boston roster. And what it would do if they swing a deal with Boston, again, if Danny Ainge and the Celtics want to do it, if you get, say, Rozier and Smart and Jaylen Brown, and that asking price may be too high, but if you get that, then San Antonio doesn't have to bottom out and rebuild. They would still be a legitimate team with those guys.
Rick Campbell of NBA TV joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byer in for Doug Gottlieb today on the Doug Gottlieb Show. We were just discussing blame because we were talking about, do you blame the Spurs? Do you blame Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Greg Popovich? Or do you blame Kawhi Leonard for how this played out? Who do you put the blame on as this situation stands where it is?
Great question. I blame it on Kawhi Leonard, and I blame it on Kawhi Leonard's people. I blame it on the agent change that Kawhi Leonard made. I am familiar with his previous agent. I'll be honest, I'm more than familiar. I'm a buddy of his. But this has nothing to do with some allegiance and some bias. But I think that his previous agent had him grounded, had him centered on what matters in life, and that's working your butt off and making money and winning games. I think this new agent has Kawhi thinking about other stuff and getting up in his feelings and having it be more about him rather than it being more about the Spurs or the team that he is on. So I think that's an issue. I think the people around Kawhi Leonard are giving him bad advice. And I think Kawhi Leonard is an influenceable guy. I think he is willing to listen to some people who maybe have a louder voice than him and follow that direction. I put 100% of the blame on Kawhi Leonard and his people, 0% of the blame on the Spurs.
Wow. So you don't, because it almost felt to me, and Rick Hamlin, NBA TV with us here on Fox Sports Radio, but it almost felt like this is the first time, like Popovich's guys, Ginobili, Parker, Tim Duncan, are so loyal that I don't think Popovich has ever had to really deal with this sort of divaness, for lack of a better term. So do you think there's any blame at all in Popovich having those guys call out Kawhi Leonard about the injury and what went on last year, like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili did?
Well, another great question. I don't think Pop had those ballplayers do anything. I think Tony Parker was asked a question, and Tony Parker answered a question. And Tony Parker had a quad injury, you guys remember, that was devastating and significant. I believe the tendon ripped from the bone, all that kind of stuff. Kawhi Leonard never had to have surgery, okay? And it's just unconscionable for a pro ball player as good as Kawhi Leonard, as well conditioned as Kawhi Leonard, to miss an entire season with a quad injury that did not require surgery. So I think that's what bothered Tony Parker. It probably bothered a lot of the grizzled championship vets on that team. So I think that's what's up with that. In terms of the Greg Popovich, you know, did he want him to return from injury? I think I probably said this on your show. I'll say it again. There's no coach in the NBA that is more cautious and conservative with the health of his players than Greg Popovich. None. Not one. He always defers and errs on the side of keeping a guy out too long to make sure he's totally right when he comes back. So that is a bogus take, a bogus narrative, if it ever comes up.
Rick Hamlin joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, talking Kawhi Leonard of the Spurs and also talking NBA draft. What name intrigues you the most tomorrow? I don't mean to make it such a general question, but we know Trae Young from college basketball, but Trae Young is in there amongst a bunch of other names, like a Marvin Bagley, who we know from Duke, and a Mo Bamba from Texas. The most intriguing name that we're going to see picked early tomorrow, who do you think it is?
Mo Bamba, because Mo Bamba was unable to, well, and he wasn't ready for prime time with Texas. His offensive game was really limited. He showed a willingness to shoot, which I liked. But the shot wasn't there. Now the shot is there. I don't know if you guys have seen the video. Go to my personal Twitter account, at NBA TV Rick. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but scroll down and you will see a recent video put out by Mo Bamba's people. And get it, like, there's no defense being played. He's alone in the gym. I get all that kind of stuff. What I want you to focus on is the gooseneck, the release. The guy's 7'1 with a 7'10 wingspan. He is a freak of nature when it comes to athleticism and just his body type. And if you add a legitimate hingy gooseneck jump shot to that, we could be talking about the second coming of Joel Embiid. I think, you know, the reports are that the Hawks are kind of locked in on Luka Doncic at number 3. I don't agree with that. I would be taking Mo Bamba at number 3 if I were the Hawks, assuming, according to the reports, that the Kings are kind of locked in on Marvin Bagley.
Rick Hamble, NBA TV, with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Last one for me, Rick. People you've talked to, you're pretty connected. What's the latest on LeBron James? Does anybody have a lead in the LeBron sweepstakes? Does he stay in Cleveland? What are you hearing?
I mean, I've got to be careful about this because I don't know what's up. I'll just give you my opinion and my hot take of the day. And it's not a hot take at all. I mean, it's sort of been out there in the universe and the ethers for a couple of years now, and it's LeBron James going to the purple and gold to play for Magic Johnson and the Lakers. No guarantees, no promises. That's the way I'm feeling right now. And now the dots are starting to connect, right? You have Chris Paul saying that LeBron isn't really feeling Houston, that he prefers to go to L.A. Well, last I checked, Chris Paul and LeBron James are great friends, dear friends, brothers from another mother. So I think that's another pretty good indication. I mean, I really think that that Laker fans should be pretty excited about the possibility of LeBron coming there. I don't want to use words like likely or probably. It's still all up in the air. But that's my take right now. I think LeBron James may be going to L.A.
You know, it's amazing. I think back to when Brett Favre and the Packers were having a standoff, and I'll just wrap up with this, where there was news coming from the Packers side of things, the team side of things, and then there were news coming from Favre's side. So the agents in the team using insiders in sports media for their own purpose. That's what I'm doing with LeBron now, and I'm doing with Paul George. Like, when I hear Paul George may stick around with the Oklahoma City Thunder, now I'm just trying to vet, okay, who's reporting what? Because I think that's the actually only way that we can kind of just get a feel of what's happening. I think that those who say that LeBron is going to go back to Cleveland may just be the people who have the Cavs most interest. I don't know about you guys, how you're viewing it, but that's how I'm starting to. Just trying to see
who's throwing
reports.
I'm with you 100%. You know, I need to know the source. People put out reports per a source, blankety, blankety, blank, and they don't say who that source actually is because they can't. You got to protect your source. But you can consider where it's from. Like, mm-hmm. if somebody from Cavaliers.com puts out a report that LeBron James, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I totally agree with you on that. And in terms of Paul George and the OKC thing, you know, I don't have a good read on that. It has kind of seemed like the writing's on the wall that would be a one and done year for him there. And that still could be the case. He could come back on a 1+1 as has been reported. Who knows, man? That's why we're all going to have our popcorn sitting down on July 1st, waiting to see where these guys make agreements to go.
Well, it should be amazing. You can see him on NBA TV. Draft is tomorrow. Hear him in Atlanta on 92.9 The Game. Rick Kamla. Find him on Twitter at NBA TV Rick. Appreciate it, Rick. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Enjoy the draft. Peace.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
There are some teams that are really good at the NBA draft. One of those, the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was on ESPN Radio today and was addressing the Kevin Durant rumors, or the Kevin Durant stories on Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors. And guys, if we don't have it, it's cool because I've got it in front of me here. But Adam Silver was kind of attacking the essence of how Kevin Durant going to the Warriors ruined the NBA. This was Adam Silver on ESPN Radio earlier.
The 20 other teams, you know, they're the biggest complainers in terms of the fact that these two teams have met four times in a row. And so they're ultimately, collectively, our 30 teams are in charge of what system we have together with the players. And by the way, the players want to win too. I mean, it's not just owners. The players on 20 other teams want a system that allows every player, regardless of where they get drafted or where they get traded or where they sign, to be able to compete for championships.
Sure.
And that's what you want.
So there's Adam Silver talking about the teams and trying to compete. The issue that he brings up is that they don't want to make fake parody, I guess, in a way, Jonas, of taking a Kevin Durant away from a team. Like, you don't want to penalize the Warriors for drafting well and saying, like, you can't get free agents because you drafted well and trying to come up rules to make that. They don't want to do that. The toughest part that I see with this is the Warriors drafted well, and they can now get free agents. And not every team in the NBA can do that. Like, some, we just talked about teams earlier. There are certain teams that just aren't going to get free agents, and that's what I think made it so tough. Is because maybe free agents aren't going to go to Oklahoma City, and that gap is where Kevin Durant left. And I think that's maybe what Adam Silver is trying to go at here. Is they can't. They can't do anything to the Warriors, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But what made it so tough for the other teams is other teams maybe don't have the advantages that the Warriors have in free agency.
If you think that the Golden State Warriors have somehow ruined the NBA, you're a child. Okay, you're a little kid. You're a toddler. I've said this before. When I was younger, my parents didn't have a lot of money. We were poor. And so I remember getting, like, kind of upset when I would see other kids with, like, nice things or cars and stuff like that. And I'm still walking around in thrift store clothes and all that. And it would kind of bother me a little bit. And then the older I got, the more I said, you know what? Good for them. If they got the money, spend it. You want another car? Go buy another car. And part of the reason why I changed my tune on that is because, well, I'm not a little kid anymore. These people complaining that the Warriors have Kevin Durant, it's like telling somebody, hey, you already have a nice house. You can't have a nice car too. Can't have both of them. They built this organization and this team and this roster primarily through the draft. Players that were available for other people to draft, and they didn't. You don't like it? Tough balls. They went out and signed one free agent, and they're better than you at this. So the crying about, well, it's not fair, and Golden State's ruined it for the league, that's crap. Those players were available for anybody to have. You didn't pull the trigger and make the move and take those picks. That's your problem. I, and this whole we've got to Like, they're talking about not only a hard cap now and trying to create a better playoff system. Like, because of the Warriors, they're now talking about redoing how the playoffs work and different conferences, and it's got to go. Come on, man. Just acknowledge they're better than you at this. You don't like it, figure it out and beat them. Period.
When you look at how the NBA is and you're trying to figure out the big three, and we see teams tanking all the time, and this isn't anything new, and if you've heard me, if you've heard others say it as well, guaranteeing top picks in the or top three picks in three consecutive drafts does not bring you the big three that you want. You can just look at the Lakers with Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell, Lonzo Ball, and the guys that they took early in the draft. Heck, Russell isn't even there anymore. So there's no guarantee with that. It's good to we'll look back in time and say, man, what a run with the Golden State Warriors. But when you're in the midst of it, I mean, it's tough. I think that the finals as well also played a role, because we forget how close Houston was to actually knocking off Golden State. Like, we forget about that. We just see the dominance. But really, we're like, okay, one team really did close the gap. And if their veteran point guard was healthy, that gap, very well could have been closed, period. And so we end up losing that. I don't hate – I got sick of the Warriors because of everybody jumping on their fan base, and I did not like Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State, but I can't appreciate of them taking Steph Curry when teams didn't. You know, like –
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Draymond Green
thing.
Was a second-round pick.
You know, they even getting Jordan Bell last year in the draft of making those moves. And, you know, Andre Iguodala's came into his own.
Sean Livingston's leg almost fell off at Staples Center. Nobody wanted him.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think that Steve Kerr gets enough credit as well, because everybody thinks, oh, anybody could coach that team. Well, I know he was out and they continued to roll, but I also think it's like a mantra, a mentality that he was able to bring along from Popovich and from Jackson. And it's just you can't duplicate what they did because of how many places they've hit the jackpot, whether it be with Kerr, whether it be with those draft picks that they made, and then within free agency. It's really like the triple crown.
And it's the same thing. And to your point, where you said people forget how close they were to losing Game 7 in Houston. Same on the Eastern Conference. Everyone says, well, LeBron's been dominating this conference for so long. We're tired of it. We need somebody new. You understand that in that Game 7, had Boston's backcourt not gone 3 of 1,000 from the field, the Celtics win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, those two games, we were a third quarter and a couple of threes away from having Celtics Rockets in the finals, and none of this is a conversation. But everyone just wants to label we're sick and tired of the Warriors. You would never do that in any other walk of life. You wouldn't look at somebody and say, oh my God, you've already got one car. You really need another one. It's not your money. Don't worry about it. Like, you would never punish somebody for that. But now we're trying to punish the Golden State Warriors for figuring it out when other people didn't. Like, sorry, you have options here. You can tank if you want. Go right ahead. There's no guarantees. You can go out and pursue big time free agents. Fine. Play your cards that way. There's no guarantees. They've figured out something that's worked. It's worked several years in a row. If you don't like it, figure out a way to beat it. Stop crying.
Do you think the NFL would be better if the Patriots didn't make these Super Bowls over the last, let's just say, 3 or 4 years?
I
look at it as, like, if you would have put Jacksonville or Pittsburgh in, like, you know, any other, whether it be last year or whatever, I don't think that – I mean, it's almost because New England lost at least this past year and maybe how they came back against the Falcons. I think that the NFL wouldn't have been as good without them in the Super Bowl.
Well, and also the Patriots – Golden State figured out a formula, right? Their formula was they looked at their roster. This is what works. We add Kevin Durant. We get better. They figured out a formula, and everyone else is trying to figure out that formula. You know what the New England formula is? And this is just a fact. You play in the AFC East, so you're going to get a minimum of 5 wins extra. Okay, so there's 5 extra wins on top of whatever you do outside the division. And then because you pile up and stack up wins in the division, you're most certainly going to get at least a first-round bye, so you play one less game than everybody else, and you're probably going to end up with home field advantage. So the only road game you have in the playoffs is a neutral site game in the Super Bowl. You can say, well, that's not fair. They play in a bad division. Or you can say, hey, that formula has worked pretty good for 15 to 20 years, so why should we complain about it? Like, if you see that that's working, go and do it too. Like, it's the blueprint is there. You just need to figure it out and make that part of your whatever route that you want to take to get to a title. Just the crying about it's not fair and we need to make it even. Like, stop. Go earn the evenness. Don't bitch about it.
I'm not a fan of the Golden State Warriors, and as I said, I didn't like when Durant ended up going there. But I also, look, as a fan of a team that I feel, you know, you have to cash in on your draft picks, and the Bucks did that with Giannis Antetokounmpo. But they also made a good trade with Chris Middleton with the Pistons to bring him in. So there are other ways, you know, for teams to do that. And if you want, hey, if another team is looking to dump salary and they've got a better piece, maybe you can bring them in. So I get that. And I look at the NBA Finals. I wasn't sick of the Warriors. I almost rather would have just not had the Cavs in there this year. Warriors were fine because I felt that they were one of the top two teams. But at least Boston, I think, would have given Golden State a better match.
And here's the other thing. The Warriors made two ballsy moves. One of them gets talked about a lot. They won 50 games, and they fired Mark Jackson because they felt like there was a better option out there. They also traded away Monta Ellis, who was their best player for a long time on that team, and that was a move that was ripped by a lot of people. Why are you trading this guy away? Because they felt like they had something in Steph Curry, and they could maximize his potential without Monta Ellis there. Nobody talks about that move. Nobody brings that up. Like, those were two ballsy moves they made. They gambled on it, and they hit, but now they're being punished because they hit. Makes no sense.